Hello, this is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM on your radio dial. And for our virtual listeners, the website is kptz.org. That's where you can listen to today's show, but you can also sample some of our earlier shows, which are online as podcasts. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as podcasts. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who's the guy with the man bun ringing up the stuff at the cash register at QFC? And who's that woman driving the Subaru with a load of little girls in tutus? And who are those young lovers smooching on Water Street despite the nasty weather? This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with people who make up the eclectic mix around here. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and teenage beauty queens, lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the soaring eagles. Listening to Our Town is a way to meet some of Port Townsend's authentic and even eclectic people, your neighbors, your friends, and particularly the people you don't know yet, but you'd like to meet them. Today, my guest is someone with a creative vision that has helped design and redesign some of the most stylish homes around the Olympic Peninsula. Dana Petrick is the owner of Dana Point Interiors, an interior design firm headquartered in Port Ludlow. Welcome to the show, Dana.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Tell me, are you a native of the Olympic Peninsula?
I'm a Washington State native. I've been on the Olympic Peninsula for about 24 years now.
Wow. So were you actually born in Washington State?
I was born in Seattle at the doctor's hospital.
Uh-huh. And did you go to high school here?
No, I graduated from high school in Belfair, North Mason High School.
Okay. People sometimes get labeled when they're in high school, and they don't necessarily even agree with the labels. But I'm curious, when you were in high school, peers, what group would they dump you into?
Probably not the elite crowd. I got very high grades, high marks, but I was still finding myself. I left high school just entering my senior year and actually got my high school diploma through Olympic College in Bremerton and stayed in college for a couple of years. I left before I graduated from the Belfair High School.
So some people seem to have a clear vision from, I don't know, the age of 12 or even the age of 2 about what they're going to be when they grow up. Did you have it all in your mind where you were going to head?
My only vision since I was a child was to be an artist, and I really didn't know what that entailed. My mom groomed me to be a plumber or something in the blue-collar field because growing up in the 60s, she did not have that opportunity. And so I rebelled against that. I really, really wanted to find myself as an artist. So when I was about 18, that's when I developed the foresight that I was going to go into interior design. And so every job from that point on had something to do with the design field. And then ultimately I went to the Art Institute of Seattle and got my architectural interior design degree.
Saying artist is a very broad thing to say. What drove you towards interior design versus, let's say, portrait painting or something like that?
Being an artist just, it does have so many different levels and connotations and different ways that you can express yourself. Mine has been in all of those levels. I've painted, I've drawn, I've worked in textiles. So that background, just always being creative since a small child, the design field, the interior design field specifically, really kind of pulled all my parts and pieces together.
And so what would you count as your first really significant job?
Going to work for the Bon Marché when I was 25. After a couple years in visual merchandising, I took a management position and stayed in corporate America for about 10 years.
The Bon Marché, are they still around these days?
No, unfortunately, there were the Bon Marché and Frederick and Nelson downtown were just the two big staple stores. Frederick and Nelson went under first. The Bon tried. Instead of the Bon Marché, we became the Bon, trying to contemporize. And then we went back to the Bon Marché. And then ultimately, we were bought out by Macy's. And I left about a year before Macy's took over.
Okay, so some of our listeners probably are not familiar with the Bon Marché.
Right.
Can you sort of describe the niche that they were filling?
The same as Nordstrom's, upscale department
regional
store.
Okay, and mm-hmm. What were some of the things you did for them over the 10 years or so you were with them?
Well, I started in window display.
I always thought that would be really fun.
It is so much fun. I had so much fun. Actually, when I very first started, I was decorating Christmas trees in September, and we would literally put 100 to 150 strands of lights on a 12-foot tree. We would wrap every branch, every limb. It was just crazy. So now I kind of just throw them in there and cover it with tinsel. It's just not as important to me anymore. They're still beautiful. Christmas trees, if it's dark and you turn the lights on, it's beautiful.
I've been occasionally in cities where they have just gorgeous window displays. Mm-hmm. And I've always wondered, how do you come up with the idea? Because they seem to change every mm-hmm. year. I mean, yeah, sure, it would be a Christmas display, but they can be very, very different. How do you manage the idea part of it?
It's coming up with a theme, really, whether you take the parts and pieces of what you're doing. It's not just about window display. So my job really encompassed the updates to the store, whether it's beams or gold leaf on the columns, the makeup department or window dressing or creating a new ambiance in the kitchen department. So it was more than just mannequins and clothing. But to go back, really you need to take what you're going to market and come up with a theme. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would do. And most of the time I would just go to bed and pop up in the morning.
Hey, that's pretty good. I like that strategy.
So, yeah, and it was really fun to have the freedom. The downtown Bon Marché is the most amazing place. I think there are 11 floors. Macy's it is now. But the display, the prop room, is much like Hollywood, and a lot of the props that were there, a lot of them came from theaters. And it's actually down in underground Seattle.
Wow.
And there were times when we would call it when the suits would come to visit. We would work 20, 22 hours a day getting those stores ready. We had more fun just uncovering the most awesome stuff down there that hadn't been used in 30 or 40 years and refurbishing it and bringing it back to life. So
wow.
It was really fun. It was a lot of fun.
Wow, that does sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So when you say part of underground Seattle, I know there are tours that mm-hmm. you can go on, but how extensive is the underground?
I really don't know. It's something that I, honestly, as many years as I've been in the state, I have not done that tour.
Yeah, yeah. So, me too. I'm sort of like, gee, I mean to do that, but right. I will sometime.
When your visitors come in from out of town.
Yes,
that's where you go. I spend most of my time at football games instead of underground tours. So.
I see. Are you a big football fan?
I am a big fan. Go Hawks. We won last night.
Yes.
Let's rock.
Yes, okay. After the Bon, where did you go professionally from there?
I knew that I had gotten to a staying point with the Bon. It was going to take a while for me to move up. My father was after me to build a furniture store. He finally convinced me that it was a good idea. So I left corporate America, and that's what brought me to the Olympic Peninsula. We built Petrick's Home Furnishings. We started construction in 1990, and it was opened in 1992. That was really a wonderful challenge for me to actually use my interior skills as well as my architectural skills, put up the building and then do all the interior walls so that they could be moved and rearranged for furniture vignettes. We had a really good thing going. We had, I think, 18 to 20 employees. It was just very well received, but we grew too fast. I think that's really what happened. My dad is just such an entrepreneur, and I really have followed in his footsteps. But I watched him just expand and then expand again and then expand again, and it just caved in on him after about 6 years. So we made the decision to close the store. I had opened a satellite store in Port Ludlow, which is Dana Point Interiors. And so when the big store closed, I went to Port Ludlow and just carried on. It just became more of an interior design floor covering store. We worked with contractors, we worked with homeowners, we did remodeling, we did a lot of new construction at the time. The market was really booming, and I just loved it. I really love working with people and kind of bringing their vision that's in their head to life and making sure that their home is comfortable and reflects who they are and what their needs are.
Now, not all of our listeners will be familiar with your company, Dana Point Interiors. Can you explain a little bit the vision? Who are your customers?
Well, everyone could be my customer. I think at any given time, each of us seeks help in some way. Mm-hmm. I tend to be the helper of the home front. My goal is to work with each individual person, find out what makes them tick, what makes them comfortable, what colors they've loved since childhood, how they live in their home. Do you work in your home? Do you love to cook? Do you spend a lot of time, or is this a second home? Where have you been? Are you downsizing, or are you retiring? There's so many questions that come up. So you qualify a person, and you find out as much information as you can. And occasionally it's just somebody needs help picking a paint color. So we can do something as small as taking our samples and going to your house and asking questions, and that's it. And then other times people need help from the ground up. Finding a contractor. What's the building process? We don't get too involved in the county process and all that, but we do help people from startup to moving forward to final completion. So we can help with flooring and countertops and cabinets and lighting and plumbing and anything that would go into a house. We can help you find it, or we can steer you to do it yourself. So we really try to be open and follow your lead, mm-hmm. as far as how much help you
so
need.
So you will work with individuals who want to do something with their home or a new home or refurbishing. What about contractors?
We work with numerous contractors. Generally, the contractors will just, they'll have us work with their homeowners. They'll run all the schedules and the shows, and then we work with their people to make all the interior selections, which in turn helps the contractor a lot, keeps him from having to drive around. You know, it's just an easier way to do it.
You're listening to KPTZ 91.9, Port Townsend. This show's called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Today my guest is Dana Petrick, the owner of Dana Point Interiors in Port Ludlow. Dana is explaining, or about to explain, I hope, the voodoo magic that I call it of staging, because I know you do some of that, and I've never quite understood what it really means.
Staging can be done for various reasons. I've worked for numerous years with real estate individuals or real estate agents, and can use people's own furnishings. Sometimes I serve as the mediator between the homeowner and the agent, just to make recommendations as to how the house will sell better. Mostly it's boxing up as much as possible, personal items, but then we can actually go in and move furniture around for them for photography and just basically making the house look better. We also do what I would call newcomer staging. So if you get to your new place and you're just inundated and the space is so different than what you're used to, we can come in and help you hang your pictures, place your furniture, make suggestions. I always encourage people to think outside the box, especially this day and age, because you don't have to use the dining room as a formal dining room. I just find that we really don't entertain the way we used to 20, 30 years ago. It's more of an upscale casual, especially in Jefferson County. It's open, it's friendly, it's fun, it's warm, and there's a lot of movement.
So what are some of the things you could do if you moved into a house that had a formal dining room and you didn't necessarily think that was what you needed?
You sell your formal dining room, turn it into a office / TV room, office / art room. Then it would be more individual. How do you need this space to work for you? Do you need a home office? Do you want extra cooking space, prep space? Do you need an additional sink? Can we bump out the kitchen maybe into the existing dining room space? Or tables that add a leaf or two as you need to, but day in, day out, it suits you. So that's really the main way. One of the main things I ask is, how do you use your house to, is it just you? Is it, if you're married, is it you and your spouse? Do you entertain a lot? Do all the kids come home on the holidays? those kinds of questions.
Which helps you determine what might work
best. What the needs are.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of people say they want to declutter and get rid of things, but I also know it's very hard for people. So how do you get through that psychological barrier?
I don't know that that's my job, per se. I certainly don't go into it as a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. I think order's healthy. I think, including myself, there are just way too many mini storages out there. I don't know why any of us have to have that much stuff.
Yeah.
I've actually, in the past probably 3 to 4 years, have decluttered my own life. So cleaning up my own spaces, getting rid of all the clutter that I just really don't need, whether it's clothing or artwork or extra plants or all of the stuff that we just tend to collect.
Yeah.
It's so hard to breathe sometimes when you just carry all that with you.
We all have so much stuff.
Exactly, we do. So I'm really trying to free my own life from too much clutter. And in turn, I think I can help other people too.
That's great. So you've been in the design field in Jefferson County now for 20 years, roughly.
I just crossed the 20th anniversary, October 3rd, 2015.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, how would you say that the county has changed over that period of time?
From a business standpoint, I flow quite consistently with the real estate market. So if real estate is the tide's in and things are selling and it's progressive, then my business moves along, and there's a lot more construction, a lot more interior work. When the bottom dropped out in 2008, I mean, new construction pretty much ceased overnight.
Just died.
Many contractors just gave in and threw in the towel. We all just kind of pulled in, and I think it was tough. It was tough for this county, which
yes.
it's been a hard kind of a no growth county as long as I've been here. I've been very active in the Chamber of Commerce's, was active in the chambers uniting together as one county chamber. I have seen this county really start to turn around probably within the last 5 years. Lots of agricultural talent is moving in, which has allowed families, farm families, and this food to table explosion, which is just wonderful. And the cideries, Finn River, I think we talked about that. Finn River is so fun, and it's in the heart of the county. The Tri-Area has just really grown into this agricultural, fun, I'm going to say family-style place. Hmm. And you had asked me early on what the different flavors in the county were. And the Tri-Area, which means Port Hadlock, Chimicum, and Irondale, have really, to me, brought back that kind of homestead feel, which was what that area was originally. That's where the homesteaders, the farmers were. And then the commerce.
The famous book, The Egg and the Eye.
The Egg and Eye Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is. It's family. It's friendly. It's agricultural.
People don't talk about the Tri-Area that much. It seems like it gets ignored a little bit.
It's kind of the ugly stepchild. So, but there's so much potential. And we have moved forward to get the infrastructure in place so that we can grow, so that we can, I'll just say it, I believe that that's where affordable housing should be. I believe that that's where most of the county services should be placed. We have such wonderful lifestyles, but we also have to take care of the people that take care of us. I consider myself a worker bee, but I have to take care of the people that take care of me as well. And that means housing, that means jobs. It just means those day in, day out kindnesses that we owe each other as humans.
Well, we both know that affordable housing is one of the hot buttons these days.
Very hot.
You're saying that you think there could be more affordable housing in the Tri-Area. Has anything happened? Are there any
projects? Well, not right now that I'm aware of. I know people are talking about it. I know there are things in the work. I've been kind of removed from fighting for water and zoning and all that for about 5 years. But there is an infrastructure plan. There's a sewer that has a three-part harmony process. I just heard recently that the first stage is still about another 5 years out. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't have my check and balance sheet in front of me. But you can go to the planning department. I urge people to get involved. Once the infrastructure is in for the first part of the sewer system, then we can get urban growth area zoning density. I believe that there's urban growth area status. But until the first part of the sewer is in, we can't incorporate. So it's a big catch-22 and has been as long as I've been here. So I really, really hope whoever's listening that you'll push to get that put in, because Port Townsend's beautiful. It has its own character, and I don't know that that's the absolute best place for affordable housing and more affordable and more growth in our county for jobs.
Okay. How would you, sort of in 25 words or less, describe Port Townsend, the Tri-Area, and Port Ludlow? What's the difference there?
Port Townsend is this fabulous, artsy, eclectic, cultural mix. It's just like a melting, blending pot. There are people from everywhere. It's incredible, out of the way. I mean, it's like a little gemstone on the Olympic Peninsula, and it's a destination for travelers from all over the world. We have the most fabulous restaurants. We have arts. We have theater. We have music. We have the Wooden Boat Festival. There are just so many talented, there are so many talented people in Port Townsend, and it's just, it's colorful and flavorful. That's Port Townsend.
Okay.
The Tri-Area is agricultural. It's family oriented. It really bears the bones of the county as far as homesteading, and there's room to grow. Port Ludlow is absolutely beautiful. It's groomed. It's a beautiful place for active retirees. There's hiking, there's boating, and it's centrally located to the Kitsap Ferry and to Port Townsend. So it's a very easy lifestyle. There's so much to do, and everyone there is very, very active. So it really lends itself to that. It's what I mean by groomed is there's a little bit more, there's more controls on.
It's a planned community.
It's a planned master resort community.
Yeah.
So that's part of the charm and the flavor of it. So it lends itself to wherever you want to be. If there's Port Townsend is just a little too artsy for you, Port Ludlow is just a little more groomed.
Mm-hmm.
But they both have as much to offer, just in a little different way. There were about 9 of us that pooled together to take there was the Tri-Area Chamber of Commerce, the Port Ludlow Chamber of Commerce, and the Port Townsend. So our goal in creating one county chamber was to cross bridges between Port Townsend and the Tri-Area and Quilcene Brennan and Port Ludlow. So I think that it's happening, albeit slowly, but that's to get everybody to cross. I mean, I go to Port Townsend, I work in Port Ludlow, and I live in Port Hadlock. So I feel like I really have an insight into all three areas.
Yeah,
and I just
time.
Would ask people from Port Townsend to drive through Port Ludlow going to the bridge instead of going the main way. I would ask people from Port Ludlow to do their Christmas shopping in Port Townsend and stop at the Chimicum Farm Stand to buy some fresh produce and go to Finn River and have a cider and listen to the music. It's fabulous. We have everything to offer here. Everything.
Now, your business, like all entrepreneurial businesses, probably takes up a huge amount of your time.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do in your off hours? What do you have? Lots of family around? Are you an outdoors person? What do you do outside of Dana Point Interiors?
Well, I love to run and I love to hike. I'm raising my 2 granddaughters who are 9 and 4, so that's my job when I get home. But it has, after 3 years, it has turned into the most incredible blessing that I could ever ask for. So it keeps me young, they keep me going, they keep me active. We have a little place out on Lake Cushman, so it's really fun just to get away for the weekend and go hiking and boating. I like to get outside, I like to garden, and I just like to be outside. I like to get out of my four walls and breathe and stare at the stars and enjoy nature.
Well, with 2 young girls around, you must see a lot of the activity from a different perspective. Are they engaged in sports or dance, or what are they up to?
Well, we're just getting started. My oldest granddaughter is into dance and Girl Scouts, so we do a lot of projects that way. The little one is...
Okay, now, we're almost out of time,
okay.
But it suddenly occurred to me, the cookie story. Tell me the cookie story. Tell our listeners the cookie story. These little girls, these Girl Scouts, had an interesting idea. So tell me.
Oh, so I had 3 9-year-olds at my house a few weekends ago, and the girls got up and said, "We're going to make cookies and have a bake sale." It was pouring down rain outside. I said, okay, but I didn't want to dampen their spirits.
Right, no, we want to be encouraging.
So we made the cookies, and I said, well, let's just see. Maybe there'll be a little sun break. Well, there really wasn't. So we came up with the idea to package the cookies up, and the girls each had umbrellas, and they took the cookies, and I said, you can go around the neighborhood to the houses that you know and see if you can sell some of these cookies. So they came back about an hour later, and they had sold every single cookie.
Excellent.
Every cookie.
Excellent.
And they were so excited, and they'd made, I think it was $19.25. So they sat around the table, and I said, come on, let's talk about this. You can each divvy up this money and each take a third, or perhaps you could start your own little business with this. I said, but if you do that, now we need to come up with a name, and we need a logo, and then you need to come up with your vision statement. What is your business about? They were all over it. So they each got a piece of paper, and they all started drawing relatively the same things. And at the end of about an hour, we pulled it together, and they ended up with a flying chocolate chip cookie. It's a chocolate chip cookie with wings.
Okay.
They named their company the BFF Baking Company, which is Best Friends Forever Baking
yes.
Company. And, oh, I should have brought it with me. They did come up with this, basically, what I'm going to call it, a code of ethics. A few of the things on there were, don't ever sell alone. Make sure that you bring all the money back home. Don't spend any of it before you've accounted for it.
Right.
And the last one, and the very last one was, and never, ever, ever eat your profit.
Yeah, I'd be tempted with chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah. So our next meeting will hopefully be this coming weekend, and we'll start working on cost of goods sold so I'm not bankrolling everything.
Yeah, there is that. I mean, if you provide the dough and everything.
Right. But to forward the entrepreneurial spirit in these three girls at 9 years old.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Oh, it's just wonderful. It's just been such a joy to watch them do this. So.
Okay, well, we're on the edge of being cut off here, but we're also at the end of 2016, mm-hmm. going into 2017. What are your plans for the coming year? Do you have anything cooking?
What do I have cooking? Well, what I have cooking is that I'm now a real estate agent working with Coldwell Banker Best Homes, and that will be my career path moving forward. I will keep Dana Point Interiors open, but I'm ready to write a new chapter and have been writing it. What I'm learning about myself, which I would carry forward, is that it's a journey, and unless you stop every day and realize that the journey is the joy, or the joy is in the journey, it's not the final destination. Because once you get to that goal, it's like Christmas Day. Oh, well, okay, what now? So what I would say is, in just try every day to enjoy the journey. In 2008, it was like the world had come to an end. We've moved beyond that, but life is still challenging, and I think it's meant to be challenging. So challenge yourself and enjoy the process. That's where I'm going with my 2017.
Excellent. Thank you very much for being on the show,
Dana.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you. This show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Today, my guest has been Dana Petrick of Dana Point Interiors in Port Ludlow. She's been giving us her unique perspective on decorating, but also on the county and looking forward to next year. If you missed part of this show, it's up on our website as a podcast. Meanwhile, keep listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, for more dynamic, eclectic community programming.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.